right, yo, yo, everybody. Here is another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. And on today's show, we have Dr. Matt Pizzanelli.
Hello, hello.
We are going to talk about treadmill running versus outside running. And we are not in studio.
No, again, we are not.
So the sound might be a little bit different. And obviously, if you're watching, it's different. Studio is being built out, so we'll be back in studio hopefully in the next week or two. But in the meantime, we wanted to put up an episode about treadmill running versus outside running because, you know, we're in the middle of winter.
Yeah, we're in Northeast Ohio. We're getting bombarded with, 10 degrees of temperature right now. And I don't know, I was out of town actually, but I think you guys got 4 to 6 inches of snow. So,
yeah, so it's hard to run outside right now. Yeah, and so basically there are some different asks of treadmill running versus mm-hmm. outside running. And I think, or even just inside on a track or whatever, but just ground running. So one of the things that I really wanted to allude to was that, we can address kind of the mechanical forces mm-hmm. of each. Because I get asked by patients a lot, what's better, treadmill running or running on the ground?
Yeah.
And I think it really depends on your injury.
Yeah.
I think that...
even if you're not injured.
Yeah. Yeah. So the biggest thing with research is that variety is key. Mm-hmm. So, if you're always running the same route on the same road, on the same side of the road, the same camber, that's not great. If you're always on the treadmill 100% of the time, always running in the same foot striking pattern, mm-hmm. that's not great. So the same over and over and over is not great. Which is why trail running is the fastest growing community within USA Track and Field. Because people realize when you hit the trails a lot, each foot strike is completely different. So with that being said, your injury rates drop like a rock. Mm-hmm. So it's not that ground running outside makes you more injury prone, but a lot of people make the mistake, if they're training for a road race, that they have to run only exclusively on the road. And I think that is a massive error.
Yeah. Or not the right surface or anything.
So, yeah.
We have a tow path where it's crest limestone. And, during the summer, it's super easy to meet up with friends and go and run on that course. And next thing you know, you go to a road race where it's on asphalt or even worse on concrete. And now you have not conditioned your bones to be able to absorb that extra shock. And now all of a sudden you're 16 miles into a marathon and you're dead, because of that. So
long story short, I think as long as we take the tact that you have variety within your training load, that's good. So in the dead of winter, obviously the reason why you would choose the treadmill over outside is risk of fall. Mm-hmm. And also, potentially it's harder to do workouts. It's harder to have a controlled setting. Mm-hmm. And that conversation we'll get to in a minute. But I think let's address it from what we know best, which is an injury standpoint. And so, from my perspective, if you kind of plow through the PubMed research a little bit on this, if you have what's called a posterior chain injury, so basically an Achilles, calf, hamstring, mm-hmm. treadmill is not great for consistent running. It's okay to occasionally do, but if you are prone to injuries in those areas, hammering on a treadmill is probably not the smartest idea. Mm-hmm. And that's simply because you are just keeping up with the belt. And since you're keeping up with the belt, you're not generating as much force with your quads and your glutes, and you're sort of just flinging the leg behind you to just sort of smack and keep up with the mm-hmm. belt.
And with the belt moving underneath of you, if you start to slow down mid stride, your foot's going to hit the belt and then kick back, and it's essentially the same as slipping on ice.
Yeah.
We did a run a couple of weeks ago. One of the other doctors here at the office and I, and it was 10 miles and it was the first time that Ohio had just snowed, and just the amount of quick acceleration that happened, my hamstrings were just cooked afterwards.
Yeah. So that's just it. You're caught between a rock and a hard place a little bit if you have mm-hmm. Achilles and posterior chain injuries, hamstring, Achilles, all that sort of stuff. Because if you go outside and then think of the Achilles, it's an avascular structure. So, the cold is going to be harder on it. And then, also the slipping and sliding and all that's going to be difficult on the hamstring and both the Achilles and the hamstring as well. So that's just something to keep in mind. Like, I think it's as long as you are aware that the simple tact of variety is key. You know, if it's a decent day out and it's not snowing and the roads are decently cleared, like probably make an effort to go outside.
I think.
But then, you know, obviously if it's terrible and it's, you know, you want to be risk averse, then obviously stay inside as well on those days.
I think there is some research that shows that treadmill running does typically make you a little bit more of a heel striker just because you're outpacing. And so you're not mechanically pushing off as much.
Well,
it's minimal, but it's just enough to where, again, if you have a posterior chain, you're tensioning that whole
posterior chain. Well, this is interesting because, so you bring up a good point. So if people are like on like one of those like levers or an Alter G, they actually are less of a heel striker. Mm-hmm. But if they're on a treadmill where they can potentially fall off, they're a lot more of a heel striking because that's a little bit more of like a solid footing.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of plays a role. Like if you feel like you're going to, your balance is off, you're going to fall off the treadmill, like you are definitely going to run different. You will run much more conservative. The other thing to consider too with treadmill running is that if you are, from an effort standpoint, you're going to have to definitely create some variety on the treadmill. So you at least want to have it at 1 to 2% incline to mimic outside, because if you are at zero, the same effort will have a lower VO2 max, percentage of VO2 max effort versus being outside. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just because you're not generating the force in the same way. So kick up the incline a little bit on your, just as a base. And then the other thing to do that would be really smart is to switch the speed and the inclines as well throughout the run.
Mm-hmm. So I tell my patients this a lot. If you use a running app, whether it's Strava, Garmin, go look at the graph. And the graph just bounces up and down. When we're running outside naturally, we're constantly varying like our paces, you know, for slight little inclines, you know, even if it's a 1 foot incline and back down, you're trying to jump over a pothole or something like that. You constantly are accelerating and decelerating. It's not flatline.
Yeah.
Whereas like on a treadmill, you can get into a more repetitive state where you'll always have some variance. But as long as you stay pretty much equal in the like where the support arms are, you're not changing the speed at all. So I play a game where like every minute I push a button either up or down. So if I'm running at like, let's say, an 8 mile per hour pace is my baseline, I'll run at 8 mile per hour. And then minute one after that, I'll bump up one and then I'll come back down and then I'll go back down one. And then, you know, I even explain, I took a wider treadmill option for mine. So I had an additional 6 inches of width. So I actually sway my body a little bit to get lateral, you know, like components of the legs. You just want to kind of vary because again, if you're doing the same movement over and over and over again, it's repetition of that. When we vary those slight little speeds or inclines, we're actually slightly moving different muscle groups. And because of that, we don't fatigue. We're not going to get those overuse training injuries. Where if you're on a treadmill constantly, you don't vary anything, you're going to get injured much more rapidly.
Yeah, I think like, you know, a lot of modern treadmills will, you can load a course in and then automatically changes, you know, incline, decline. Awesome.
Yeah.
So pay the extra money, get that variety for sure. Also fun to kind of add in like speed play or like fartlek sort of efforts, basically where you're challenging yourself over the course of a set interval. Kind of doing some little bit of HIIT training on that. And that variety there just kind of breaks it up a little bit as well. So you're not just slugging away at a 5 miler that's super boring in the treadmill.
Yeah.
So in terms of kind of continuing a little bit more on the injuries, there are some studies that show that if you do have foot issues like plantar fasciitis or like coming back from like a stress fracture or you got some sesamoid issues or metatarsalgia or something like that, you would know it, those terms, if you had it, then treadmill running could actually be slightly better for you. And that has to do a little bit back with your effort tends to be slightly less on the treadmill in terms of like your max VO2. And so you're hitting the ground with a little bit less pressure. Like for instance, if you are less likely to get a stress fracture on the treadmill versus outside. Outside, there's quite a bit more of a torsion load on the bones. Tends to be a little bit more osteogenic, bone growing, and specifically on the tibia and the foot. But on the treadmill, specifically with the tibia and the foot, you are deloading those slightly. And when you add that up over, you know, a decent volume week, like 50 miles a week or so, that adds up. So you mm-hmm. so if you're at risk for those injuries and or you're feeling some aches and pains in those areas, like probably just get off the ground from outside and be on the treadmill a little bit more frequently.
Yeah. And then, you know, going off of that note too, like there are a lot of newer treadmills, they have like shock absorption like built into it. Some of them yeah. have dampeners, some of them just the belt or the tread platform bows a little bit, so you can decrease. I know a lot of I can't even think of the name of the treadmill, Nordotrex. Right. They have a dampener that you can switch to more firm versus a little bit softer. Cool. On it. So that's always like a great feature too. So you can vary again different types of surfaces with that.
Yeah. The again, kind of we're doing this episode obviously relative to being, you know, in winter running here in the Northern Hemisphere. One of the things I would do that I would encourage people is like a lot of people when it just hits this kind of weather and it's definitely single digits in Fahrenheit, like they're just tapping out and they just go inside no matter what. But I always found it to be really, really therapeutic to be outside this time mm-hmm. of year. It's obviously, I've fallen and broken clavicle, I've dislocated a shoulder, and I've broken my hand twice from falling during runs throughout the years. So I obviously understand the mm-hmm. risk of falling in the middle of winter. But there is just something so peaceful about running in the winter.
Like, no, I agree.
It's hard to describe until you actually do it. Like light and sound are different.
Yep. And I think like
it's cool.
Hearing like branches like crackle a little bit and break because of like, you know, the weight of the snow or something like that.
Like if you're walking in the woods in June and you won't hear these kind of sounds, but if you're walking in the woods in January, you will hear like literally a squirrel jumping from like a branch to a branch. You'll mm-hmm. literally hear like the slightest little wind kind of creaking branches. It's the coolest thing because like everything is sharper in the winter. It's so fascinating.
And there's just less people out. So it's like you have it to yourself. It's like mm-hmm. yours.
And then I always thought like whenever I kind of look back at my career, I was always the fittest heading into winter and even through winter. Kind of my three best seasons, I was peaking for January and February races. And I chose to do workouts outside. I never really went on the track or treadmill to do workouts because if I was doing workouts outside, even if my pacing was off, because I'm if anybody knows me personally, they know that I'm like, I don't like GPS. I don't like to run workouts on GPS. I do everything on perceived exertion and feel. And I think that's just because I've just had so many years of experience with that. Mm-hmm. But the reason why this is valuable in the winter is that when I am doing workouts in the winter and I'm outside in the worst of the worst, it's like every cell in my body, every fiber in my being is accepting of my goal now. Like they're like, all right, dude, this guy actually wants it. Like he's not backing out on anything. Like he's taking it to himself. Like he's putting himself in some crazy conditions. He's driven. I mean, it's like your subconscious is like, all right, we know you want this now. And it's a cool feeling to head into races with
that. And if you're somewhat fit, and you have good stability, it's more beneficial, you know, to run out there, A, because you have the challenge of the temperature, because when it comes race day, you don't get to control the temperature. Yeah. It is what it is. So it builds mental toughness of just being like, oh, it's bitter cold. I have a beard, as everybody can see. I have hundreds of photos of just icicles stuck. I one time when my beard was so long, I couldn't actually open my mouth because my mustache had frozen to my beard. And I had to literally just wait for it to like
thaw. That's awesome.
But it builds a mental toughness. With that. But two, like you do work axillary muscles, like because you're stabilizing a little bit more, so it does make you stronger. Now, obviously, there's a higher risk of injury with that. But again, as long as you're being mindful and not just haphazardly running, you know, like without kind of looking at your footing, you can gain a benefit to it, from that aspect. But then similarly, treadmill, training can be beneficial if you're going into a race early spring where it's going to be a lot hotter than what you're training in.
That's another great point.
Then you can actually run inside. You can create it in a hotter environment to be able to, or vice versa. We're in Ohio and you might, run into your mid-spring, race, it could be 20 degrees. And so like, if you're only, running inside, you have no ability to to deal with that cold, you know, come race day.
Just how it feels on the lungs and everything. I mean, there's absolutely trade-offs, and that's a wonderful point, is that, you know, again, variety, right? Mm-hmm. Adding a variety of stimulus, I think, is key. And, you know, I think that if you're genuinely training for a race, like once you, like if you're training for Boston or something like that, then you're going to have to probably get outside and slog mm-hmm. the hills. You're going to have to get outside and like deal with the temperatures. You're going to have to really wrestle with that. But also, Boston has been warm too. And so, you know, it behooves you to kind of get indoors and kind of challenge yourself mm-hmm. in that way. So that way you are fit for whatever occasion arises. Yeah.
But it's good. Like, again, if you live in a flat mid-state and you're going to be running a race where there's a lot of hills and you just don't have access to it, that's where you're going to be doing your hill workouts on a treadmill.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the best that you're going to be able to do. You know, with that, I think it's also a great time to be able to work on hydration and nutrition. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like carrying mm-hmm. things.
Especially in the winter too. It's hard to like, you got mittens and to do goos yep. and everything.
So it's super great. Like, you know, if you're not used to taking in food, now you have a tray in front of you essentially that you can keep it. You can experiment with different things. If you don't like it, you can put it back on there. A lot of people neglect that, you know, getting their body used to being able to like yeah. actually digest food at the same time as still, you know, performing at a high level. And especially if you're in a little bit hotter of an environment in your basement or at the gym, where you're going to be replicating the body heat that you are going to be doing during race,
yeah.
like that's changing. When we did Cheeky Monkey, like just the heat of the day was like in the 70s and 80s, and like taking in calories, I can take on calories all day long on the bike, like not an issue. But running yeah, at a higher speed at that temperature, I couldn't, like after like my third round, I couldn't take in yeah. any more food because of that.
Yeah, you do have to for sure practice that.
So again, it's a great way that you don't think of, like, you know, as a benefit, you know, to doing that.
Yeah.
So I think too, like, I know we're going to try and wrap it up here in a second. With injuries with treadmill, something that I want to talk about is like treadmill maintenance, because that becomes a big issue. And why I say that is a lot of people don't take care of their treadmills properly. So you should be lubricating underneath of the belt that spins in the platform, because if it's not well lubricated, when you impact, you'll get that typical chirp sound, you know, of a treadmill where it's like chirp, chirp, chirp every foot strike. And that means that when you impact the, you know, onto the tread, you're sandwiching the belt in between the platform and your shoe and it stops slightly. So you get a huge shearing force. And you can get into some pretty bad knee injuries.
Oh, wow.
And calf strains. I've actually seen a couple of meniscus tears simply because of that. So I typically tell my patients, one, buy a treadmill lubrication kit online. They're like $12 online on Amazon. Do that. One, it prolongs the life of your treadmill, so you're going to get way better lifetime, you know, expectancy out of that. Two, it can prevent quite a bit of shearing stuff, and it's big on the knee and the hip, and also tibia, because again, part of the reason why we get stress fractures in the tibia is from a shearing force, yeah. especially when you get the higher shin stress fractures. And then two, make sure that your treadmill is level, because as we talked about earlier, depending on, like, you know, repetitive of canter, some floors aren't all level. They don't, you know, if you put it in the basement, they're just like skin coating it and that's it. And so the treadmill can actually be leaning. I won't say his name, but we had a gentleman years ago who ended up tearing his labrum really bad because he had moved his treadmill and he didn't realize there was a dip, and he had a TV mounted and he didn't realize the TV wasn't level. So the treadmill dipped this way and the TV dipped the same way. So it looked visually level to him,
yeah.
but because of, I mean, he was at like a 3-degree canter.
Wow.
And he just ran like a 16-mile long run and it just blew out his hip. And he was injured for like 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
Because of like just the angle of his treadmill on that.
Yeah,
so those are the two things.
Bubble measures, man.
Yeah. It's something, again, you can go to Harbor Freight and get one for $5 and it can be a huge, you know, difference, you know, in your training. So.
So yeah, I mean, all great points. I mean, treadmill maintenance is something I for sure would overlook.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, in conclusion, we're not pro outside or pro treadmill. We're just pro variety and, mm-hmm. and whatever is best for you. But just understanding the different risks of being on a treadmill versus outside and the injury risks of that. But also don't just resort, I guess part of the other theme of this is don't just resort yourself to the treadmill just because it's cold outside and just because the conditions are a little off. Mm-hmm. For sure have that in your back pocket in case it's a really bad day and it's genuinely snowing and they're not plowing the streets and it's really dangerous with ice. Like that's obviously a non-negotiable. But, you know, if it's a day where it's, you know, decently warmer, like up into the high 20s and 30s and you can get outside and it's safer, yeah, like please enjoy the outside. It's phenomenal.
You just have to get out there. Like that's the worst part about it.
The threshold of getting out of your car or out of your front door to the first mile is the hardest.
Yep. Like it's after mile one, you're warmed up, everything's good. Your hands might take 2 miles or something like that. But like, once you're out there, if you're running and the whole entire run, it's miserable, you're probably actually overdressing because you're just sweating underneath of it and the sweat is cooling you down. And we can make a whole nother podcast on that because there's a lot of good information on proper ways to dress in the cold. So
We did do an episode on that last year. The cold weather one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like I would always tell my mom too, like I like winter running because I feel like I'm conquering nature, right? Like you're outside in these miserable conditions and then your mind is peaceful. Like you're doing something you love and it's not making you stop it. Like you're on the offense. You're not like settling based on the conditions around you. And I think that's just a really powerful thing to set the tone for the day, to set the tone for, you know, getting through the winter and just keeping you empowered.
We have 1% of the population are what, runners, and probably 10% of them are out running in the snow.
So yeah.
it's a pretty invigorating, you know, thought of going out and doing that. So,
so you're definitely a true 1%er. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us on another great episode, and hope you guys have a great holidays and hope this episode helps you kind of navigate the thoughts of should you go outside or should you stay inside? Thank you.
Have a good one.
Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries.